Welcome to Bible Curious Podcast. I'm your host, Amberly Lyons, and today we are chatting about faith and finance. Believe it or not, they go hand in hand, and we're going to find out how and why, and like, should we be wanting to be rich? Is that biblical? Is that greed? And we're going to talk about all the things, and we have a lovely guest to share her amazing insights with us. Her name is Stephanie Lee. She is a financial professional. She blends faith, family, and finances together. She's a passionate entrepreneur with a heart for empowering women and families. Her business has practical tips on building wealth, creating online income, and living a life of freedom. I've been following Stephanie for a while now and been super inspired by she lives such a beautiful life. She's spending time with her family. She's a woman of faith, and she seems to really be doing it all. So we're going to find out how we can get some of that peace in our lives too. So welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you so much. I've been following you for a really long time too. So it's so amazing that we can connect over this and over this like faith journey together. And I love that. So
yeah, I want to know about your faith journey. Like, what's your testimony? Are you newer to faith?
Oh my gosh. So I actually like grew up in the church. I mean, it was a very forced thing, obviously. Like when you're a kid, I could care less. It was very boring. I was just, But it did give me a foundation, right? It gave me a foundation. I knew the parables. I knew the principles, and I was comfortable in the church. However, when I was a teenager, I mean, it's the last thing that I really wanted to be involved in. It was very forced. As soon as I was old enough to like not be forced to go, I was out. And I will say too, like I had a little bit of church hurt. There was some things that had happened. Some of my friends were into like not great things. And it was kind of like a topic of gossip in the church. And that just really just turned me off. I felt so, just out of place. And I felt a lot of judgment. So after that, I really never wanted to go back to church. But in the back of my head, I always knew there was God. I would pray sometimes, but I definitely didn't live by the Bible, right? I had my fun. I basically just kind of turned a blind eye. And up until, I want to say a few months ago, which is kind of crazy because it really hit me all at once. And, so as you know, like I was traveling, I've been living abroad for a while, and something kept calling me to come home. And I was trying to fight it so hard because I'm like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And I guess the Lord was not giving me any peace until I made the decision. I'm like, okay, I need to go back to Canada for some reason. In my mind, I was like, I'm only doing it for work. Like, I'm only doing it to build my business. And that kind of gave me like this little, it calmed my ego a little bit, right? That it was okay. It's for work. It's fine. And when I got here, I was just in all sorts of like confusion. And I was just like, what am I supposed to learn here? Like what, why am I here? And I kind of went on this journey. And at first, a lot of people were trying to help me, like astrologers, you know, like coaches, mentors, and all this stuff. And nothing, it wasn't hitting. It wasn't hitting. And all of a sudden, and I have never been into Christian content or anything like that. That was not my algorithm. but like, I started noticing every time I opened Instagram, Facebook, whatever it was, scripture. And it wasn't just any scripture, it was the exact scripture I needed to hear for whatever I was worried about. And it was undeniable. It was like slapping me in the face so hard that I'm like, okay. And you actually tie into this a lot, because I know we had talked, you know, about like maybe months ago. And, you know, I was commenting on your content because I'm like, oh my God, like I'm kind of Bible curious too. Like I'm coming back too. And you said, hey, like, I'd love to have you on my podcast. And I was like, yes, because I felt a call to it, but immediately after, I'm like, oh my God, like I have to get into the Bible. I have to get that. And so I got a Bible and I started reading it again. And it's because of you, because I was like, I do, like, what am I going to talk about? Like, how am I, So it's actually huge. And I truly believe that if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have gone into the Bible so quick. Like, it was that day that I was like, shoot, I need a Bible.
That makes me so happy. Well,
It's
I feel like I saw you posting like scripture and things that really inspired me, and that's why I reached out to you. Like I was like, okay, yeah, like I was like, oh, she's a believer. So I don't know exactly what you posted or if you just maybe kind of came out of the closet a little bit and started sharing. But when I saw that, I was like, okay, I need to talk to her. And I actually went through this thing where I muted every single person I follow except for like a few close friends. I was already following you, I think, and then and I knew who you were, but then one of my friends posted something that you or something, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna unmute her. It was like something about Christ, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna unmute her. And then I started, you were one of the handful of people that I was still following. I've since unmuted more people, but like at that time, I was like, okay, she's a believer. I'm gonna follow her because I committed to only following like believers because I was like, I need to get out of this like new age stuff because that was my entire algorithm. And yeah, so you were like one of those people, and so you were inspiring me as well. So that's why we're here.
My God, he works. And it's like he will put things together in ways that he just will, and you don't
Exactly.
have to worry about it. So yeah, it was really, really cool. And so like you really kicked off like me diving into the Bible and really getting into the Word again, because I was like, oh shoot, where do I start? So yeah, no, that was just divine. Like
Where
it's
did
so
you
divine.
start? Because there's a lot of people that message me and say, where should I start reading the Bible? And I'm kind of like the wrong person to ask because I'm such an extremist that I just read it from front to back. So
You did.
yeah. So I'm like, just so that I'm like, that's the advice I give. I'm like, or start at the New Testament. I don't know, but I think like, what did you do?
So what I did was, in the beginning, I actually just started Googling, what does the Bible say about this? What
Yeah.
does the Bible, because we're all dealing with
ChatGPT is my spiritual coach.
never thought of using that.
Oh,
That's
it's so
what?
good. And like I said this on my podcast that dropped today. I was like, I'm pretty sure ChatGPT is probably demonic because, it's like making us not want to think anymore because we don't have to. But it's so good for scripture because what are you going to do? Like flip through the entire Bible trying to find something for that specific thing. So yeah, like I'll be like scripture for anxiety. I'll be something so specific or scripture for days that you don't feel worthy, and it'll just give you so many things.
See, I do find like ChatGPT is good for things like that you would ask an assistant to do. You
Exactly.
know, like categorize something, not like fix my life, but like categorize something, like pull this up. Like it is good for that, and it's definitely time saving. But yeah, so I started doing that. But I was like, I really want to jog my memory again, because I can't say I remembered anything. My dad got my kids a kids Bible,
Oh,
and
cool.
I've been reading it with them.
That's brilliant.
I tried so many different versions of the Bible, because I'm like, okay, this one's not like plain English enough. Like, talk to me like I'm five. Like, actually, you know, and I did. I tried from Genesis to like read the whole book, and I zoned out. I was like, I can't. I'm like, it's so much work. And so I started that. Like, I started reading the Bible like in the kids version,
Perfect.
and that I'm like, yes. So what they're doing is they're reading like their Bible stories, but I'm going through it in like my adult Bible. And so now we're both kind of learning the same thing again, except it's like layman's terms there. And then I'm kind of, yeah. So that's kind of what I'm doing. And I know it's kind of weird, but it does
Oh,
help.
it's
Like, especially.
actually so smart because at least you can understand the context and the framework so that when you actually read it, because that what happened to me when I was reading the Bible is that I'd be reading a story and I'd be like, you wouldn't really know what's going on. But then once I got like to the end of it, I'm like, oh, I've heard this story before, but I didn't realize that that's what it was. But if I could have understood first, oh, this is that story, then I would have understood the whole situation a lot.
It's helped so much because now, like, after it, I'm like telling my kids, like, okay, this is kind of the lesson that I'm getting from it, and that's exactly it, you know? And so, yes, kids' Bible, but I'm
That's
also
brilliant.
starting. I just started in John. So like I actually was Googling on YouTube, like, how do I read the Bible? Like, actually, it's very overwhelming. And everyone's like, start in John, you know? And that's what I've been doing. There's actually a girl on YouTube that does, like, she breaks down each chapter. So it's like a Bible study with me. And I literally do that, and she goes through each sentence, and I'm like, that is the kind of guidance that I need. And I know there's study Bibles and everything, and I do have one. I just found, like, it's like a teacher, like, she's actually breaking down each sentence and each line, and I'm like, yes. So
Hey,
that's
can
what
you
I'm
send us
doing.
that link? Because I want to post it on everyone, and I also want to do it because obviously I read it, and I just kind of flip to a page or read what I feel like reading. I read in the morning and at night, but I because I didn't have that, and I was really just doing it on my own. I would like that. Like I want to go through it all again, step by step, and understand every line. So yeah, send that to us, and we will
I
share it with everybody too. So when did you start like integrating, or how do you integrate your biblical principles with money?
Okay, so, oh my gosh. I was very reckless with money, all my life. All my life. And I just wasn't educated, but I don't know, I was always that person. I could figure it out. But I was reckless. And the last few years, so I want to say, like, the last year and a half, God has really shaken up my finances, like, where it's undeniable that He was like, I am doing this. You need to learn. And it was a hard lesson, but I was also now coming back here and seeing I was very thankful, because had he not shaken me, I would have been leading with ego. I wouldn't have started educating myself on money and things like this. And when I kind of look at the things that he says about money, it's just so multi-dimensional, because it's not just, okay, so, I mean, he does say the things like, hey, diversify your streams of income, don't be lazy, get advice, be careful of fraud, like, don't get into debt. He does tell us all these kind of, like, financial rules and principles to follow, but there's so much more to it in, like, your attitude, right? Not to be prideful, which I think I was. And he said he will bring down that house of pride, and he did.
Oh no,
He humbled me.
like I'm probably in the season that you were a few years ago where you had to realize all this, like, reckless. My business was so successful. I was very open about the seven-figure business. And I mean, we've invested some, which is good, but pretty much, other than the purses in my closet, nothing else to show for it. What do
I
I
learned that lesson
do?
too. So there's actually a few things we can do, and I'll definitely, like, chat with you offline too. But yeah, like, a lot of lessons. So I mean, I kind of started off with this, is the principle, right? So he tells us all these things that, a lot of you hear online too, right? Like, so, diversify your income streams. Do not get into debt. Right? Be wary of fraud. Prepare for 7 years, right? There's going to be a time where you're raking it in, And then there's going to be a time of drought. And
Yeah.
that's exactly, I'm with you. I was like, like it's always going to come. There's never going to be a drought. And God shook me up and he said, listen, listen, live simply, be grateful. All these things he does teach us, manage your flock. He tells us, manage your investment, get counsel. Learn to grow your money. Do not act out of fear or scarcity. But he also says, like in Luke 14, 28, he said, build a foundation and know the state of your finances. And I think we were just reckless and we were always just thinking, like, life is good. Stay in the energy of money. We are good. And that's not how it works. That's not how it works. So I really started to, a huge thing I think that God tells us is to be educated and be humble. And I was neither of those things. And that was kind of the first step for me, was to sit down and learn the kind of things that can help me pay less taxes, how to invest, right? And all these different things, and to live humbly. Like I was like you too. I was just like, ooh, purse. Oh, I need this new flashy thing. I paid off my car. I need a new one. Like all these things that it glorifies only you, right? It has nothing to do with God. And so it's like we need to be humble. Humble. It doesn't mean that we need to be poor as Christians. It's kind of like the opposite, actually. He's like, I will teach you to be rich. But there's like a whole, there's two sides of it, right? So yeah, that's kind of how I started, was just to start learning about financial systems. And this is why, like, it's been such a passion for me to have these two things come together, faith and finance, because I'm like, it kind of an epiphany hit, because they say that you cannot serve two masters, right? It's God or it's money. But here's the thing, is that we get so caught up in this world about money is everything. It gives you options, yes. But then you get so caught up into it that now you're serving money and you don't even know it. And that's a huge thing too, because it's like, and I was like, okay, if I can help people relieve some financial stress, learn a little bit about money, know how to grow their money, then they're no longer as stressed, right? Because when you're stressed about money, it's like if you think about it all day long,
You
it
can't
keeps
serve
you up at
God.
night.
Like you can't like be your best for God. Like you're contracted. Like everything is like constricted, and like to have the Holy Spirit flow through you, you need to be breathing deeply. You need to be at somewhat of a place of peace. Obviously, if you're like on your knees and surrendering, like he comes through then too. But in your general day to day, to let him in, your brain cannot be stressing all the time. He will not
Yeah.
be able to get to you.
And it's like, especially nowadays, like people are stressed. Like they're like really stressed about money. And I'm like, if I can help in some way that alleviates that stress, that like anxiety, and give them peace and give them a plan, it's like you no longer have to chase the dollar. You can chase God, and it's like this little shift. That it's like, man, if I can just help people get on a plan so that they can just, they're investing monthly, they don't got to worry about retirement, they're not stressed, and it just comes out automatically, and their children are taken care of. Like, that's when I was like, okay, let's go.
Yes, exactly. And I want to talk a little bit more about the tangible things later. But before we move on from that, I do want to talk a little bit more about the piece with pride, because there's like this whole like prosperity gospel. And I'm personally like, I'm trying to research and understand the boundary of leveraging God, leveraging your connection with God, leveraging the Bible and the truth in the Bible to bring financial prosperity, but not leaning into prosperity gospel. So, how would you kind of describe that proper balance?
Okay, wow. Okay, I have a lot to say about this actually. And there's nothing wrong with asking for blessing. You know, God tells us to ask for blessings, but it's different when we demand it, expect it, right? That's when it becomes a problem, when it's like, well, it says here that like God will bless me, so bless me then, you know? And it's like, you know what I mean? And people just like, okay, well, it's kind of very similar to manifestation, okay? Where as long as you believe it, as long as you feel the good vibes, then it's yours. But you just got to believe it. It's yours. And that's kind of the same principle as like manifestation. They just replace the universe with God. And now you're sitting there being like, where's my blessings? It doesn't work that way, like at all, actually. You know, like I think it really sets people up for disappointment because they're just taking the little good thing. God also says there will be suffering. God also says many things. You don't get to like cherry pick what you want, right? And not be obedient, right? So people are like, well, I believe in this. I believe that God will, you know, give me riches if I just surrender. But then they don't want to be obedient. They don't want to be a, you know, a steward. They don't know how to even steward this wealth. They don't know how to manage their money. They don't know. They are not opening their mouths and using their talents the way God intended, right? So I think it's just like, you can't just have what you want. You can't just pick what you want. You kind of have to be the whole deal. God doesn't just want to help you in finances. Like, God wants all of you, right? So I think that it's kind of, there is a fine line. And I think that's up to us to like pray for discernment to be like, is this from me? Like, am I like giving myself all the glory and just being like, or am I actually like listening to the word of God? Or am I just expecting, well, I'm following these tangible things, right? So I have different investments. I'm investing, I'm not in debt. Like, okay, so I'm listening to God, and so I should be blessed with riches. That's not how it is. You got to go through the whole Bible and you know, all of you, right? Not just part of you. So I think like, yeah, you really got to discern whether you are all there. Are you just there for the blessings? Are you just there because God said, like, right? It's, you know.
I found like because I feel like I've gotten so much better at understanding because it's so hard, especially coming from the New Age, and I think a lot of our listeners are in the same spot where it's all about you, where it's like I'm studying the doing these practices, even if some of them are spiritual in nature from different religions, from like Buddhism or from Indian religions, and you know, you're doing these things for benefiting yourself. And so now coming over to, okay, I'm following God, it's sometimes easy to get caught into, oh, if I do this, then I get this. So that's, and I still catch myself doing that sometimes. Like I'm moving right now and I'm like, this is like God ordained. Like he's like, you're going here. This is what's happening. And so I'm up at night. I couldn't sleep. I was so excited about how I'm going to decorate my place. And I'm just like my, you know, when you're that feeling when your stomach's like fluttering and you're like, oh, you know, just like thinking of all these things that you want to buy and that how it's going to look so cool and all of that. And then God literally was like, hey, are you moving for me or what? Like I thought you were moving for me. And I was like, oh, whoo, okay, sorry.
Yeah, it's like he'll tell you, you know, and it's us if we're like, okay, like I'm gonna pull it back and like it's, you know, and just really know your boundaries with God. And I think, you know, and I don't know about you, but like, I mean, even like 6 months ago, like I was having a conversation with my friends and we were just talking about, you know, the universe, God, like all these things. And I said, what is it that you believe? Because you're using God and then you're also using the universe. And she's like, well, it's kind of interchangeable, you know, because it's kind of like either God provides or the universe provides or like whoever you believe in, right? And at the time, I was very like kind of lukewarm and I'm like, yeah, I guess that's right. I guess yeah, I guess I get it. It's the same principle. And now I'm like, oh my God, it's completely different. It's completely different. And it's completely different in like how it's centered. Where it's like, are you giving God the glory or was it all just you? You did it. You did everything, you know? And it's so different. And it's like, yeah. So, I mean, that's what I have to say about like prosperity gospel. It's like, you just have to be really careful with it.
Yeah. So what are some ways that are biblically aligned and God-centered that we can, like, what can we focus on, or like, how can we like call in money without it being this like new age manifestation? Like, how can we use the Bible in that way?
For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world, from the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with the Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com.
I think if we serve God and we are obedient, He will take care of us in that way. I think a lot of times, and it's so against everything that we're taught to, you better like make sure you're good. You know, it's hard to surrender because you just feel like, are you sure? Are you sure I'm good? And to just let go, right? And I think with me, like, just I've been praying a lot, and I used to be very oh, I'll just do what I feel, because like I have pretty good gut feelings about everything. I pray about everything now, like the smallest thing. I'm like, is this for me? Is this for me? Is what I am doing, is that it serving you, or is it an ego thing, you know? And I pray on everything now, even like financial decisions, everything. I do pray on it. And I think that if you're really open to listening, you can hear him, you know? And if you're not sure, keep praying on it. Keep praying on it, because he will reveal answers to you. I mean, maybe it's not right away, but like keep praying on it. And it's like, yeah, with everything financial, though, I do pray a lot to him about like, what should I do? How do I advise? Like all these kind of things. And I also look into the Bible for guidance. It's like the best guidebook
I know,
for
literally.
anything.
I know. So the Bible plus ChatGPT, it's like the secret formula. But literally, I think like for myself, what I actually have been studying the concept of like decrees and declaration. So because the Bible does talk a lot about speaking things into existence, but they have to be for God's will and aligned with the truth of the Bible. So we could sit here and say, I'm a millionaire, and I'm, you know, you can try and do that. Whereas like New Age manifestation, that's kind of what they want you to do. But that's not for God. But if you're speaking scripture and you're saying, God wants to prosper me, God will never leave me or forsake me, God always sustains me, and you're using like scripture and like stories in the Bible as your proof, and you're repeating those things, then I think that's how you declare it. Like, God can only decree things, and I think we should only be declaring things that God has decreed. So it's like, if God has told you, oh, I'll use myself as an example again, because he's kind of shown me like that. It's actually ironic, like I'm literally living in the desert and moving. So he's literally like, no, you're headed to the promised land now. Like, you had your time in the desert, you found me, you got baptized, you did everything you needed in the desert, and now you're going to the promised land. So now he's told me that. So now I can say that God is bringing me to the promised land. I can speak specific scripture from that story, and you know, speak that over my life, because I feel that it's true because God's told me and it's in the Bible. So it's like, I feel like that is so different than being like, I'm gonna have $1 million in 3 months and here's my plan. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
It hits different. It hits different for
yeah.
It does. And you're right. Like a lot of times, like in New Age, it's kind of like there's no, it's just you're trying to manifest money to, like, I don't know, flex on Instagram. Like, I don't know. But like, for what? Like, for your worldly desires? It's no, no. It's like, what for what? You know, if you don't have. Yeah, I just think if it's not in God's plan, it is not in God's plan. And if it is in God's plan, nothing can stop you. And that's the thing that we have to, you know, like keep our chin up about is like, if it is for you, like no one can take that away from you. You know? So yeah, it's just there's a lot. Like he teaches so much about every single topic that it's like you just chat GPT your way to like
To biblical truth. I
Oh,
want to talk about stewardship because that is actually, God actually said to me that one of my things that I'm meant to teach people when I'm ready is about stewardship. And I'm not there yet because, again, it's like I've been so reckless. And this is, I've gone through like this major ego death and have just been shown that the things that I thought mattered don't matter. And this is, I feel like, my next big lesson. So, can you speak a little bit on stewardship?
Well, okay. I think that, you know, he really calls us. I was listening to something the other day, and a lot of us don't think that we are qualified in things, or for example, this. Okay, like just me and you having this conversation, like, you know, I had so many things like doubts about like who am I? Who am I to be talking about this? Like I just got here. And I think it doesn't matter. You know, God will prepare you. I prayed so hard on this. I'm like, just Lord, please help me know how to communicate what you want people to hear about wealth and you and faith, you know? And it's like, I started hearing little things. Even this morning, I heard something just so profound that I was like, oh my God, about wealth and faith and God. And I was just like, see, this is like, he will provide. You just have to be that, like that steward, you know, and just be obedient and just use your voice, use your gifts, however he gives it to you, and just trust, like just trust, you know. So yeah, it's, I mean, I'm learning so much too, like every day, like I'm sure you are too. And it's just like the more you learn, keep using it, keep sharing it, and be bold with it, right?
What are some of those like tangible tips for like stewardship with our money and like debt and like what are like some of the things that we can actually implement?
Okay. I mean, and he tells us so many things. And it maybe you've heard some of these things before, I'm sure you have, but it's like we really need to actually follow them. He is giving us the blueprint to wealth, like right in the Bible. There's over 2,300 verses about like possessions, wealth, finance. Like it's important, you know, and I think that God knows, like it's money isn't everything, but it's really gonna help us navigate life, right? The most important thing though I do want to say is like in Deuteronomy 8:18, this is one of my actual favorites, is that he says he is that power that gives us the power to create wealth. It's him, all glory to him, because without that we can't. And I think that's just like the most important thing to remember when you're thinking about building wealth, right, with God. Okay, so some tangible things is one, it actually says in 1 Corinthians 16:2, save 20% of your money. It says save one-fifth. It really does. And it's funny because a lot of us kind of do the investing and saving at the end, right? If there's money at the end, if you get a bonus, okay, I'll invest that, right? We don't do it in a disciplined way. And what I've learned is that most people that are retiring well and with no stress, they do that first. And it's just a different kind of mindset. When you have that like wealth mindset, you're thinking about that first. And a lot of people say, shouldn't I be taking care of my bills first? That is like the number one bill after tithing, okay? But automating 20% into your savings immediately. And then what happens when you do that is that you figure it out. So if someone were to raise your phone bill, your car payment, and your rent by, like, let's say $500, you would just deal with it, right? But we're not doing that for ourselves, right? So it's like, if you have, you know, an automatic transfer every single month of $500 every single month before your bills, before your mortgage, that's how you build wealth. And you need to automate it, because that's the only way humans stay consistent is if it's automated. So save 20%. It actually says save one fifth. Okay. It says do not get into debt, because it'll make you a slave, right? Proverbs 22:7. And I'll talk about that later, but it's huge. And you know, we talked about how it stresses you out, right?
Well, and it's so normalized, like it's so like worldly to have debt. Like it's just, you're 18, get that credit card, start racking them.
It's such a trap, and it's like, oh, it's such a trap, and like, you know, and it's such a great door for the devil to open, like come in through, right? It's such a great little stronghold he can have on you. So it's like, eliminate that, because then he cannot. And now I'm like, now I know why Dave Ramsey also is so against debt, because that's just an opening to get in, right?
So true.
There's so many things. So he says, manage your flock and your investments and money, right? Proverbs is great to like learn all these principles. A lot of these are from Proverbs, and it's true. Like, we just need to learn how to manage our investments and pay attention to them. Because if you were like me, where I just was like, who cares? I don't know. So I'll just leave it. It'll come back and bite you in the butt sometimes, right? And it says with Matthew 25, it says, grow your money. Do not fear or hoard. Do not have a scarcity mindset. Do you remember that parable where he gave, I think it was three disciples. I'm not a Bible expert yet. But he gave them money and then he went away, right? The master went away and then he came back. And there, you know, so everyone's like, okay, I did this. And I grew your money by this much. I did this. I grew your money by this much. And the last guy was like, I saved all your money. I saved it. I hoarded it. Like, I didn't want anything to happen to it. And he was acting with fear. And God really just is like, do not be fearful around money, you know? Like, and I think that's really, really important for us, because I was kind of taught with that kind of mentality of like, make sure you're saving, just save it all. Like, don't use it. Don't invest it. It's risky. Like, all these things, right? And I think that's really important, because if you have that money mindset of like, there's not going to be enough, or like, just in case, you know, you're really not surrendering to God, right? Yeah. You're really just like, I got to control this. I'm so scared of anything happening. So yes, be smart with your investments. It says that too, but also do grow your money. Like, it's actually biblical, like grow your money, invest, right? It does.
I know I'm like guilty of this too, is that I mean, I don't know if this is good or bad, but I just trust my husband with all that. I'm like, oh, you like, he's into crypto and like investments and stuff, so I'll just like give it to him and he'll do it. But then I'm like, okay, I feel like I need to be more knowledgeable. I mean, I invest in my own businesses, which I guess is like its own thing, but like, what are some like wise investments in your opinion?
I mean, there's lots. Personally, like, I specialize in life insurance, and the reason why I do is because There is an insurance app that a lot of people don't know about, and there are a lot of tax benefits that you can get with life insurance, and you can grow your money in ways that you can't really conventionally outside of an insurance policy. So, I mean, that's one thing I do as well, but also just like diversifying. So it says in the Bible to actually diversify, I think six or seven or eight streams of income. That is really important too. And I think that's also an investing rule is like, you don't want to put it all in the market. Even if it's in different companies, different stocks, it's still the stock market. You know, like we saw not too long ago, everything kind of came down all at once. And that's the thing, they are all kind of intertwined, right? So I mean, I always think like real estate is a great kind of thing to diversify into. I do believe in crypto, and I do invest in crypto as well, but I do my due diligence too. I'm not really into like, you know, just meme coins or anything just kind of flashy
And
and
like my
like that.
husband does it, but that's like my husband's full-time job. Like he is literally on reading charts, reading Twitter. Like if you're not doing that and you don't know like all the things, like that's a totally different ball game.
Yeah, like you can't just like listen to somebody on TikTok and be like, oh, I think that's doable. God says be smart with your investments, be smart with your decisions, right? And that's it's not smart. And I mean, I'll be honest, I was very like, I love to throw money at those kind of things before because it was just exciting and shiny and new. And now listening to the Bible, I'm like, that wasn't smart. That's not what God meant by diversify. But he also says, like, work hard. Like, work hard. This doesn't mean, he says, work diligently. And I don't think that this means hustle, like the whole hustle culture that we've been sucked into, especially women. I think that means be smart, work smarter, not harder. Like, I don't think God wants us to just hustle. I think he wants us to make those smart decisions and, yeah, it just says, you know, seek advice, like learn, just learn the basics. And I think this is great for you too, because a lot of times I do see women that like their husband handles all the kind of finance things and the investments, and they actually have no idea what's going on. And I ask them, like, so what happens if something happens? Like, where do you, what are you going to do? And they're like, I have no idea. And that's why, even though maybe you're not going to be like super knowledgeable about all the crypto stuff, but like, what do I do? Where is it all? And why have you done it that way? You know what I mean? It's just like, just to ask the question. And I think that sometimes women think, well, that's kind of their department. My department is like the kids and the home. But I think it's great for people to actually work together on financial goals and to know what are we invested in and why and what happens to if one of us, something happens to one of us, right? So I think it's 100% get into the conversation because it's your life, it's your livelihood too, right? Like you guys are a team. And I find that when people work together on their financial goals, it's just so much more powerful, so
Yeah, like
much more.
a meeting. Like we have weekly meetings and we'll like touch on it, but I think there's something to be said about like having a weekly meeting specifically for like money.
Yeah. And I think too, I think women are very good at managing money. Yeah, we are. And it's like incredible what like women can do. And I've seen some wives really take the reins on the money. And it's actually truly amazing. Women are really good investors. And I think we pay attention to these little things, right? So absolutely, you will surprise yourself at like how well you pick it up and how like exciting it actually is to understand these things. So 100%, like get in there.
Getting in there. I'm gonna be crypto queen, you
In there. Yeah,
So,
there. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
yeah, did you have more tips on there?
He does talk a lot about, leaving an inheritance for like your children or your children's children. And I think that's, I mean, yes, an inheritance money. But I also think that he means education, like knowledge, the wisdom, right? And this is something that's so important for me because even though, yes, am I leaving an inheritance financially for my kids? Absolutely. And I think the Bible talks a lot about taking care of others and your family, right? But I think something that he's also touching on is like the wisdom, the knowledge. What do you do with it? How do you treat people? Like all these different things, it's like pass that on to your children, right? Pass that on to your children, so they also can be a steward for these things, right?
So, do you have any like success stories, like any like specific stories that you have of people, how they've like changed their lives? I just love to hear that.
I do. There are a few people, maybe it's not, well, kind of, I guess. There is a few people that I actually like look up to so much in regards to like leading with faith and their finances. And one of those is actually Ed Milet. He built a big business in financial services, actually the same brokerage that I'm in right now. And but he's very like God-led as well. He always talks about, tithing first. And I love that because it's like he has been so blessed by God, but he's also been such a great servant of God. Another one is Myron Goodit, Myron Golden. He's somebody that like in the last few months I've really taken a liking to. He is so bold about God. And he teaches people all these principles that God teaches in the Bible about money. And so, like, those are two people that I'm like, you gotta just, they give great advice. They know exactly how to explain it. They're just God-driven. And I like, those are kind of my teachers right now. I'm obsessed. And they both have like amazing YouTube channels that you can get a lot of advice from. So, yeah, they're amazing. They're amazing.
I will need to. I know who Ed Milet is. I think I followed him at some point. I did not know that he was a believer. Has that always been in his like content?
He weaves it in. Like sometimes when you're listening to this podcast and he will like talk about, like tithing first or like his faith. And there was one actually recently that he did. I'll have to like find it for you where he does talk about God and building with the faith-based kind of finance. And it was really awesome. It was really awesome because I was like, wow, yes.
Okay, so any other advice you want to give? Like, if someone was like, okay, I need to start getting this together today, where can they start?
I mean, start with just reading books, like YouTube, learning like basic financial principles, right? Like, because when you start getting educated about these things, like what are the accounts that are tax sheltered? How can I pay less tax? How do I get out of debt? And, all these kind of things, it's huge. One of the first things I always tell people to do is like budget. And track your expenses because that's kind of where it all begins. And I think that I was so against budgeting before because I was like, ew, that sounds terrible. Like, ew, I do not want to do that. I never wanted to be a budget girl. I was just like, ugh, it felt really icky to me. It felt like a punishment. But what I actually learned was it's not a punishment. If you are, it's like eating out is a huge priority to you, you can budget that in. Like it's not supposed to be restrictive, right? It's supposed to like kind of show you a clear path that you can follow. And I think that's such a huge thing to start with is one, track your expenses and your income, start there. And then what you're going to do is you're going to budget it out. And this is one of my favorite things to do in it now, which is so ironic because I was so against it. But when you actually know exactly what your ins and outs are, one, it might be a real big wake-up call. And I'm talking like you track your expenses every single penny for like a month, because a lot of times we think, oh, I'm spending about, 3,000 a month, and it's nowhere near that. That was my harsh reality. I was spending almost double what I thought I was, because I was only in my head. I was like, okay, there's rent, there's this bill. Okay, I'm probably spending this much on food, and it was double. And I was like, oh,
But there's always
oh.
those little things you don't think of. Like there's parking. Like when we lived in Vancouver, we were spending something crazy like $500 a month on parking.
And that's easy to do. Like if you're
It's
just,
easy. You go to the grocery store, you go to the gym like every single day, $12 a pop, like
my big downfall, like the craziest thing is like buying snacks and stuff for the kids, like little treats, like a little ice cream here, a little cafe thing here, and you really don't think about it because it's like $4, it's $7, it's not a big deal. But like you do that 100 times in a month, which I was doing, and it adds up. And I was actually like, oh my gosh, like what's on this on cafe? Like, give me a break. And it's like, it's not about being cheap. It's about being smart, you
Yeah.
know? Like when you actually,
Another
yeah.
crazy thing for me is like all the apps on my phone. Like I did like different like photo apps and different workout. I'm like, why am I paying for three different workout apps? Like there are just so many things. And I was like, okay, I need to. Just like little things. And I do, it feels so godly when you start cutting back. Like it feels so good and it doesn't feel restrictive. It feels like a weight off your shoulders when you start cutting back on the things that you actually don't need. And I was the same, like with budgeting. I was like, I would that like my motto was like, don't budget, just make more money. Like that was my motto. But then like for people that know my whole story is like I burnt out. Like I had like I my business no longer felt aligned. I was burnt out. I didn't want to do it anymore. I came to faith and my business was new age and I was like, this is not aligned anymore. And I had to quit. Like I had to stop. And it takes time to build something new up again. So you never know like what is going to happen. And I love that you brought up that story from the Bible about preparing for 7 years. I don't remember. Is that I can't remember. It's Daniel. I remember it's some kind of prophet is telling a king that there's going to be 7 years of harvest, like really good harvest, and then 7 years of famine. So to stow. So it was, wasn't it Joseph? And Joseph, like, yeah, it was Joseph. And Joseph, not Jesus's stepdad, but another Joseph. And he, yeah, tells him to stow stuff away. And then because he did that, because he told the king and warned him, then the king hired him to be like his right-hand man, whereas before he was just like this servant. So what you said actually about the wisdom, like passing on the wisdom even brings you rewards.
Yeah, 100%.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
No, there's so much, right? And like with what you said about budgeting and like it feeling good to cut all that down, right? Like God says so many times, like just to live simply. You don't need all the things. Like he's not saying like I don't want that for you, but it's just like it's like, does this bring me joy, like that much joy? You know what I mean? And like, it really gets you looking at your habit, because I didn't even know I was spending hundreds of dollars on treats for my kids, and like, I was aware of that. It's not like I was like cheap, but I was just more mindful. You know what I mean? Like more mindful. And like, if you are paying attention to your money and like learning about it, and it's going to grow, right? So like, that's kind of like where I would start, is like, start budgeting stuff in. And if you can't see the numbers, and I was always just kind of like, I'll do it in my head. I think, you know, like it'll be around this. And like, when I actually started being, because I'm kind of a person, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go with the flow kind of thing, figure it out when I get there kind of thing. But you know, when it comes to your finances, like, it's just so much less stressful when you have a plan, truly. And I know we hear that, we see that all the time. It's just like, you know, how are you ever going to get there if you don't know where you're going? And that's exactly it for finance. How do you know, like, how are you planning for retirement if you don't even know what your number is? If you don't even know what you need, how, where are you going to plan for that? You can't. You're just like kind of throwing money here and there, just kind of hoping that you'll be okay in retirement. And it's like, that's kind of not the way it works. And as much as I want to be, you know, a girl that just handles things as they come, it's actually not very smart. And it did not give me peace. What gives me peace is knowing, okay, if I continue this plan, I'm going to have this much for retirement and be good. And I'll leave this much for my kids. You know what I mean? And that gave me peace. And I thought, if I can just give people this peace, if I can give people this peace where they're not like, oh my God, I'm so stressed about that. If I can help them plan out things or find extra money for them, or even like reduce their debt and put that into an investment vehicle instead, like, what can that do for people, right? So I think start there is like, know your numbers and like, be disciplined. Be disciplined. And then you got to kind of know your destination, know your goals. Okay, I want $2 million in retirement. How am I getting there? What accounts, what vehicles am I using so that they're more tax advantaged, right? How can I kind of bulletproof this for my kids? Because a lot of people don't know, like, what happens when they die? What happens to their money? Like, they're like, I had this conversation with my mom, and I was like, hey, like, what's your plan? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, okay. I'm like, because she has a few properties. I'm like, what is your plan with these properties? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, okay, because here's the thing about capital gains, you know, and, you know, and a lot of times that generation's like, well, I'm just going to leave them my house, my kids, my house, and that's a really good gift, which it is. But a lot of times, you know, kids don't have six figures cash liquid sitting around to be able to like have that property transferred over to them. So it's like, education is a lot. The more you know, the more you know, and it takes time. We don't learn everything right away. And I learn new stuff every day, like every day, about money and about how our system works, because, you know, the system that we are currently in is kind of rigged against us, right? They give us credit cards when we're 18. They don't teach us about taxes or investing in school. They encourage us to get into, you know, student loan debt, get a mortgage, like right away, because that's the next step. Always buying new cars. Like, all, it's like we're bombarded with it. We are bombarded with it, and we're not taught anything.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about, I can't remember if this is the last episode or the one that I'm going to be filming soon. I remember writing it down. But we were talking about, oh yeah, it was last episode. So we were talking about how God is bigger than the matrix. And like, one of the matrixes is the financial system. Like, the financial system is set up by the devil. Like, all the systems, like the financial system, the education system, the healthcare system, like everything that is set up that we think, or well, not we, but most people think keeps them safe, is actually demonic and against them. So the more you know, and then you only give the devil consent if you don't know what you're giving consent to, if you're in the dark, it doesn't just mean you're in a place of sadness. It means you're in a place of unknowingness. So unknowingly, you're giving your power away to the devil because you haven't shown lights on the things that of this world that you have to be a part of. You have to have money, you know, that's how we're going to survive, but you haven't taken the time to shine God's light on them, to get to understand them, to take your power and your consent back.
That is powerful. And that is so true. Like, it is so true. And it's like the devil, he's sneaky. He is so sneaky, you know, it's so crazy because I was kind of having a conversation with somebody about, you know, manifestations, this kind of stuff, right? And I said, I'm not touching that. I can't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Like, I just won't do it. And she's like, well, you know, there are good witches. And I'm like, you do realize the devil will open doors for you too. The devil will gift you things too.
That is my life. Like, manifesting works, but guess what? It comes with a price. Like, I wish I never made those millions of dollars. Like, I'm probably worse off in many ways.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. When you realize, like, it's just because you're getting something good, it does not mean it is from God.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I always have to remember. And it's like, you have to stop and pause sometimes and really be like, is this from him? Because a lot of times it's very close to what you were praying for, or what, you know, you think God's plan for you to be. It's very close. It's just a little off. It's like a knockoff. Like, the devil will give you knockoffs, and he will give you gifts so that you're like, ooh, I want to go over here now. I'm distracted. Like, look at me. I'm doing so good. Like, oh, now I'm going to hustle. Like, all these things, he keeps you so distracted. And it is so important. I think that's why we need to be in the Word and we need to read our Bibles. And that's why I'm like so committed to like getting back to reading it, because I think there's just so many things. Like, it's not just investing 20% or saving 20% that's going to get you wealthy and all these things. Like, it's the whole thing. God wants all of you, you know? So, oh, I love that you said that.
I know we're going so long, so we'll wrap it up. But how?
Okay.
I'm so sorry, but it's been so good. I didn't want to stop. So, how can people work with you?
You guys can reach me on my Instagram, or I can leave like an email for you guys to get a hold of me. But I'm pretty active on Instagram, so it's probably the best place.
And what's your handle again?
It's Steph Lee Money Co.
And I'll link you guys in the show notes as well. Definitely give Stephanie a follow. Like I said, she's so inspirational. And especially, I feel like if you're a mom, like, she is really just showing you that you can have it all. You can have the peace. You can have the money. You can be a woman of faith, and it can feel good. So we all meet on that train. So Stephanie, thank you so much. You've shared so many good tangible things, insightful things, biblical things. And I'm so, so, so grateful for you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Everyone, go check out Stephanie, follow her, work with her. I'm going to be hitting her up too. So we'll catch you guys next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.